309 at 590 WKZO. Raj Taylor in the studio. Michael in Master Control. Did you have a good weekend?
I did.
Did you go golfing?
No, I'm done golfing for the season. I like to typically end it by the end of September. But I did run in a 5K race on Saturday.
Oh, how'd you do?
I did pretty well. It was the Run for the Sun, and I ran 20.06, which is one of my top five fastest times. And I took 7th overall and 2nd in my age group.
All right. Boy, you should be aspiring me. don't think I'm going to be running with you.
Okay.
But I do ride an exercise bike every day.
Well, that's good.
Underneath the fat, I'm in better shape than I would appear, but I keep it hidden. I don't like to be ostentatious and brag and show off in front of people. So I keep my musculature hidden under this fat so nobody notices.
All right.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the Monday show. We got some interesting stuff coming up. Later in this hour, we're going to talk to a guy we intended to talk to on Friday, but he was preempted by the president. These things happen. Mm-hmm. And at any rate, this afternoon, Mike Nichols from the Grand Rapids Business Journal is going to talk to us about new shopping opportunities that are going to crop up just down the road from us. And we'll talk about what that could mean for your shopping, not in time for this year's Christmas, but certainly in time for next year's Christmas. And then we're going to talk to one of my favorite people to talk to when we're worried about the economy. And you can see by today's Wall Street numbers that there's some worry out there about just what our elected officials in Washington are going to do over the next few hours, that perhaps beginning to look likely that we're going to end up with the government shutting down. Well, what it could mean economically for us is Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch will join us. And I always like talking to her when things make me nervous about the economy. And it's not just the shutdown that happens tonight. It's the debt ceiling that we're going to be grappling with in the next couple of weeks. That, in my mind, is the scarier of the two events. We'll find out if I'm right when we talk to Jill Schlesinger a little after 4 this afternoon. Well, let's get the show started, and then we're going to talk about the reasons the Republicans have wanted to shut down the government over the last 6 years. Well, since the Republicans have taken over the House of Representatives back in 2011, they've used this same strategy, that is, the prospect of a government shutdown or a debt default. Those are their two fallback strategies to sort of extort what they want. A shutdown would furlough about 1 million federal workers and cut off essential services for millions of Americans, while a default on the U.S. debt, even according to John Boehner, would, quote, devastate the global economy. While this shutdown has been focused on wanting to stop Obamacare from going into effect at midnight tonight, it isn't just Obamacare that the Republicans have fallen back on will threaten a government shutdown or a default. So I thought we'd take a look at, count them, the 21 different reasons Republicans have talked about either driving the U.S. Credit rating into the dumper or shutting the government down. These are the 21 negotiating points, the 21 things that they are trying to accomplish without having enough political clout by holding seats in the Senate or having the president while they're just confined to working in the House of Representatives. So, number one, a balanced budget amendment. Shut the government down if we don't balance the budget. Approving the Keystone XL pipeline. That's number two. Number three, eliminating funding for Planned Parenthood. That's a reason to shut government down. Medicare privatization. Turn it over to for-profit companies. Tax reform, as outlined in the well-thought-out Paul Ryan plan. The RAINS Act that would require Congress to approve any significant federal regulation. That was targeted at gutting the EPA. Republicans have thought means testing Social Security was a reason to either default on the national debt or shut the government down. Of course, defunding Obamacare, that's this go-round's reason. Allowing employers to eliminate health insurance coverage for birth control. Number 10, an expansion of offshore drilling. Number 11, preserve all Bush tax cuts. Number 12, cutting trillions from the budget. 13, slashing funding for food stamps. 14, protecting mountaintop strip mining. Number 15, stripping the EPA of authority to regulate greenhouse gases. Believe that was a Fred Upton idea. Number 16, loosening regulation on coal ash. Number 17, delaying Obamacare implementation for a year. Number 18, repealing a tax on medical devices. Number 19, eliminating social service block grants. Number 20, expanding drilling on all federal lands that would include national parks. And finally, number 21 on the list of reasons Republicans think we should or could shut the government down, restricting the child tax credit. That was something they thought was worthy of either a debt, letting the country's debt go unpaid or shutting the government down. In just over 2 years, Republicans have been successful with this strategy in extracting $1.7 trillion in budget cuts. Under President Bush, the government never shut down, and the debt limit was increased five times with bipartisan support and without any conditions. But I thought it would be interesting to tick down the 21 things the government or the Republicans in Congress thought were worthy of either destroying the country's credit rating by defaulting on our debt or just shutting the government down. 21 different reasons, and that's just since 2011 when the Republicans took control of the House. On some levels, our do-nothing Congress has actually been doing a lot, not successful completely, but many of these folks have been busy. So tonight's shutdown is not without historical precedent. That's the word I was looking for. And in our list of 21 reasons, several of them refer to Obamacare, different approaches to Obamacare, the postponing it for a year and defunding it, meant to accomplish the same thing, but two different strategies to accomplish that. And coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch, and we'll find out just what this impact will have potentially on the economy. Now, John from Kalamazoo. Hi, John. How you doing on a nice afternoon?
Yes, it is nice, but I'm inside, so I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Well, trust me, it's beautiful out.
Oh, thanks. You should have told me it's raining.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible out. Stay inside, John. Close your blinds.
Okay, thank you. I don't have a window in my office.
Okay.
All right. There's one of the 21 points that's very pertinent to our local area. And I heard Mr. Upton speaking today, and that's the tax on medical devices.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to ask Mr. Upton is how much money in SBI, Small Business Innovative Research Grants, and STRR grants did Stryker and other, what I call corporate welfare, either grants or tax abatements, did they receive in the development of these devices? And, mm-hmm. I mean, to me it's kind of quid pro quo. If you're going to take government money, you should be darn willing to pay back into the pool.
Yeah, yeah. You shouldn't double dip. Take government help developing your products and then complain when the government wants a piece of the action. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. Makes sense to me. I question, we have taxes on all sorts of things. We have excise taxes on telephone service. There's a number of taxes. What is so egregious about that portion of Obamacare? That there needs to be a special emphasis just on that area of medicine. I think it's a good question. Did you get a chance to ask Representative Upton that question?
Part of the reason why I focus on that is I think if you follow the money trail on most of the medical devices, the ones that have come out in the last 30 years, on how much government funding was received in the development of those devices. That's why I target that of the 21 points, mm-hmm. that one point.
Sure. Well, one of the impacts they're talking about having with the government shutdown is a cutoff of the money going to support exactly that kind of research that that you're referring to. And so clearly the government is investing money in that area. If we're talking about that's one of the things that will come to a halt with the government shutdown tonight.
Hey, yes, thanks. You said much more eloquently than I ever could, Roger.
Oh, well, thanks, John. You have a good one.
You also, sir. Thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you. These are all reasonable questions, but a lot of federal money goes into supporting research into areas, especially where the government spends a lot of money providing health care. And I have no idea what kind of federal aid the companies that manufacture medical devices get. But I think John's got a good point. If they're taking money up front, then they shouldn't be expecting to have no tax consequences from that in the future. There's no easy answers to all of these things, but I just found it interesting when I began to total up the reasons for government shutdowns, according to Republicans, and the variety of reasons they've come up with in just the last couple of years. A nice 72 degrees on the outside, and Bob Larson last week promised us one more 80-degree day, and it looks like it's going to happen on Wednesday. We'll find out in a few minutes when Bob joins us, and we'll find out if we are going to have that last 80-degree day. Now, he also warned, there's a downside, that the cold front that comes in after that 80-degree day will make a noticeable difference in the weather here. And we'll learn all about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. And we'll learn about a major new shopping opportunity coming just down the road from us, within minutes of our homes. And we'll find out what that will mean as this project comes online during the next year. And so we'll learn more about that with Mike Nichols from the Grand Rapids Business Journal. Gas prices, we'll take a longer look at this later in the show. 327 along Gull Road, 326 in Richland, that's the best price in the Kalamazoo area. 333 in Plainwell, 317 in St. John's, Michigan. And, we'll find out gas prices in your area later on. Well, a nice little fall day as we get 72 on the outside. Not a lot of humidity. This is my kind of weather. Cool at night, sunny in the daytime, an 80-degree day in the forecast. We'll find out how long that nice weather continues here in just a couple of minutes when Bob Larson joins us. I told you I'd take a look at the rest of gas prices. Pawpaw, there's a dichotomy. Some stations at 339 in a station just down the street at 347. And so 339, the best price there. Down Three Rivers Way, 341 is the best price. And yet in nearby Sturgis, just 322. at a number of locations. In the Battle Creek area, the best price is, east of town at 11 Mile, right there by the casino. $334, the best price there. As I mentioned, here in Kalamazoo, $327 at a number of stations along Gull Road. $336 at stations along Sprinkle and Portage Street. And but the absolute best price, $3.26 out in Richland. That's what gas prices look. For reasons I have no explanation for, the absolute best price in the state, $3.17 at St. John's. Well, if gas prices aren't to your liking, the temperature outside sure is. Joining us now, weather forecaster extraordinaire, Bob Larson. Bob, how you doing?
Doing well, Roger. How are you?
Good. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. Yourself?
Oh, yeah. There's no such thing as a bad weekend.
Good point.
Yeah. Some are better than others.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no bad one.
No.
Well, you promised us an 80-degree day, one more, and looks like you were right.
Well, first of all, we got our 80 from last week, actually. We were around 80 for a couple of times. If even officially at the airport, got an 80 out of it on Saturday before the front came in.
But you
talked last week about there being another 80-degree day or so this week, and although it hasn't happened yet, it appears it is going to happen perhaps as soon as tomorrow, but I think certainly Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, even Thursday going to be that
warm.
Oh,
yes.
Ooh.
And the next front to come along looks a lot slower than what we talked about last week. I thought maybe it'd come through Friday. I think we might end up getting a couple of showers Thursday, but that won't be the front. The front that makes a big difference really isn't coming until later Saturday. That's a full day or two slower than what we talked about last week. So I think it's still fairly warm, if not 80, upper 70s, even on Saturday before the front arrives. And then it goes the other way, and it gets significantly cooler for Sunday and on into next week.
Now, what's average for this time of year?
Well, it's been a while since we've talked about that, and it is easy to lose track of average this time of year because it changes very quickly. But on this final day of September, the average high is 67, and the average low is about 47.
So we're above average even today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we're going to be well above average as we head into the start of October.
Okay, how sucky is the weather going to get when that slow-moving cold front gets here?
Well, first of all, there's going to be some rain with it. And as I mentioned, even before the front arrives Saturday, there's a preliminary bout of showers that looks like it comes through Thursday, maybe even a thunderstorm, because we are going to be warm and moderately humid. The front brings showers Saturday and Saturday night, and then we're probably talking about highs in the 50s and lower 60s and lows in the 40s, maybe upper 30s. Behind that front for the early part of next week.
Okay. And are you still pretty comfortable that this spell of warm weather is the end of the 80-degree days?
I think so, which leads to today's word.
And it is?
Custer. And not custard, the dessert. Custer as in Custer's Last Stand. See where I'm going with that?
Yeah. I you have to get up pretty early in the afternoon to get ahead of me.
Right. So that's the word for today. And,
did you know he was from Michigan?
I did not know that.
Yeah. General Custer.
Whereabouts?
Came from Monroe, Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah. See, you can come here and get meaningless trivia, too.
Well, that's outstanding.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Bob.
Okay, Roger, I'm going to be out the next few days.
Are you doing anything fun?
I'm going to be giving some weather talks to different parts of the country.
Ooh.
I'm traveling through New England this time around. I got a separate trip next week, but I will be back Friday.
Okay, for Geek Day.
And for Geek Day.
Okay, good. Well, you travel safely.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Bob.
Take care, Roger. Bye-bye.
You bet. 590 WKZO time is 3:44. And joining me now, and this is a holdover from last Friday, Mr. Nichols was preempted. Now, not everybody gets pushed aside by the president. So the first time we were to chat we had to delay talking to Mike Nichols. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. There's something for your memoirs. The first time you were on WKZO, you got preempted by none other than the President of the United States.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny moment. He said to me, "I'm sorry, will you hold for the president?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, okay, you know, I guess he has something to say. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I can wait."
Well, I'm certain I whet a number of people's imagination and appetite when I mentioned a big new shopping opportunity coming just down the road, and both physically and time-wise. Talk to us about an outlet mall.
Well, as I reported on last week, and if anyone wants to read the story, you can go on our website. It's www.grbj.com, the Grand Rapids Business Journal.
Yep.
But the story is that Tanger, and I believe that's how you pronounce it, is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Tanger is a Greensboro, North Carolina-based outlet, you know, mall series, and they're going to have one coming in. It's going to be in Byron Township. The address is going to be at where the do you remember Dome World?
Oh, yeah.
That's where it's going to be. It's going to be right there off the highway at 131 and 84th. It's 30 acres of land. It's kind of about 15 minutes from Grand Rapids and then another 15 minutes from the Gun Lake Casino. They're going to put in 80 stores, so it's going to be pretty big. 80% of those stores are actually already spoken for. So they've been, you know, they're going fast. So if anyone wants to get their store in there, they might want to call them up and let them know.
Sure.
It's supposed to create 800 to 1,100 jobs, which could be wonderful for the area.
Mm-hmm.
And the people there seem very excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids have a lot in common. We share TV stations, to some extent, some radio stations. And we share an awful lot of shopping. And I say this because I used to have two stores, one in Kalamazoo and one in Grand Rapids.
Oh, did you? I didn't know that. That's cool.
And a number of people shopped both stores. Rivertown, because of M6 across the bottom of Grand Rapids,
right,
has ended up making it nearly as convenient to shop there as in the shopping area of Kalamazoo that's on the far side of town from where you are. Do you see this outlet? How big of a range do they have that they think they draw customers from? Do you know that?
Well, I think it's pretty big. They actually were speaking to the people even from Howell, where there is a Tanger Mall, and they asked them, you know, is it doing good for the area? Have you gotten a lot of people in from all over the place? And they said, yeah, we absolutely love it. It's been nothing but good here. At first, people were kind of worried, would it make too much traffic, but it hasn't been a problem. And I know exactly what you're saying about Rivertown. You know, I grew up about 5 minutes away from there off 52nd Burlingame.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I remember how the area has now grown. There's been all these outlets coming up around it. That whole street now is just amazing, all the restaurants that came into the area. And I think they are hoping for a similar thing to come into the Byron Township in this area. They're hoping for a lot of different stores to come in, a lot of businesses to sprout up around the area. And, it does create a cultural effect for those people as well, that they have all this new, you know, all these new stores, all these new options coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's an entrepreneur or has that mindset. They might want to, you know, get inspired to start their own thing. And that kind of stuff does draw attraction from a lot of different spaces. So I think you're right in saying that, you know, M6 really helped Rivertown. I think 131 will also help them. And especially one thing they did tell me is that they're hoping to have hotels and motels pop up around the area. There are some, but certainly when you have Gun Lake Casino right down the road and you've got Gun Lake, I think about 30 minutes away from that, from where the Dome World location is, you have a good opportunity for people to come in from all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Shop there and then drive down the road and then come back. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it could draw a lot of people from a lot of different areas.
And another reason for people to be driving back and forth from Kalamazoo to Grand Rapids. Having made that commute for a couple of years, I was not the only person on 131. it's a really busy road.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming assuming the traffic concerns that people had were on the side streets, not worrying about some more cars on 131.
When I talked to Audrey Nevins Weiss, she's the Byron, the township supervisor, she did say that when she had talked to them about the other Tanger Mall, that's been their concern, but it had worked out okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you're definitely right that 131, especially in construction season, as it is kind of right now, oh, man, it's either like the best road in the world or the worst road in the world sometimes to travel on.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Mike Nichols, a writer for the Grand Rapids Business Journal. And any other rumors of or thoughts about development around that area as a result of this Tanger Mall coming in? Or is it really too early for other developments to be tagging along?
If there is stuff coming along, they haven't said anything yet, or maybe it is too early, maybe they don't even know yet. But
yeah.
From the people I've spoken to, the kind of reaction I've gotten from the area is they're really excited for the mall to come in. It's 80 stores, 80 businesses right there, you know, and so that will be good. What's popping up next, they think, you know, and their hunch would be hotels. Motels coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the future, maybe a couple more outlets, maybe similar to what happened to Rivertown, I think. But so far, they've only just had the announcement
for
the mall coming in, and they still even have to approve it. Technically, the mall hasn't even been approved yet. They have a meeting that's going to be, I want to say, October 1st?
Yes.
October 21st. October 21st is a planning commission meeting. And after that, they have a public meeting on November 18th. People can talk about it. And I think the earliest they could see a decision is January 1st, and
okay.
Then construction would follow that summer, and then maybe the mall would be open, I think, in a year. So it's still a long ways off from even seeing anything happening, and who knows how much Michigan could be different by then. Our state has changed so much, and just the past, you know, 5 years alone, who knows what it could do in 2 years.
Yeah.
But I think the kind of, it might be a little too early to tell, is still there, but if people had their guesses, they were saying hotels and other little small outlets around it.
Cool. Well, Mike, I appreciate your hanging out with us Friday afternoon just to get pushed aside by the president. And
I was happy to do it. Thank you.
For calling back today. And would you keep us in the loop on developments of that mall? I think that's close enough to Kalamazoo that there'll be some people watching that.
Yeah, I'll if you want, I can email you what I know and, you know, can stay in touch.
Sure. Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you bet. That was Mike Nichols from the Grand Rapids Business Journal. And so I wasn't kidding about a new shopping opportunity just down the road, maybe a year or so from now. One of the reasons that I continue to go to Grand Rapids is I'm a Costco addict, but by next year, that may not be a reason to have to go to Grand Rapids. Roger in the studio, Michael in master control, and George on the phone. How you doing, George?
Real great, this great sunny day that the Lord has made.
Boy, isn't this nice one.
My experience with the outlet malls, and I don't know if other people can reflect on this, but the ones we've been to down in Michigan City and the one up by Birch Run and stuff, you go to a store like the Jockey store,
mm-hmm.
you know, that has the men's and the women's unders and stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff is seconds that they couldn't ship off to Walmart or some other place because of a, you know, missewn seam or something.
Okay.
So the price is cheaper, but you're not actually getting the same quality jockey next to your bod. And a lot of the furniture, not furniture, but the household stuff My wife bought a skillet set recently at one up a Birch Run and brought it home, went in and looked at the same brand box at one of the large department stores in the Kalamazoo Battle Creek area here, and it was missing one skillet out of the set. So that's why the price was cheaper.
But it
had the same model number on it. So, you know, I guess it's like buying a refurbished computer off the internet. You're getting somebody else's junk that didn't work, went back for repair, or there was something wrong with it from the factory, and you get a third off for that.
Well,
and they also wouldn't take their coupons at the jockey store.
Oh, they wouldn't take their coupons.
Right. My wife gets these coupons in the mail, and then she goes in there and they says, well, those are only good in the retail outlets. What the heck is a mall if it ain't a retail outlet, guy?
Yeah, and a store that says Jackie on it that gives you their product for money, I would call that a retail outlet. I think that's a stretch.
Maybe it's different in Indiana.
Well, a lot of things are different in Indiana, but I still think a store is a store. And you're right, they're called outlet malls for a reason. And you have to have your wits about you when you go shopping, period. I don't care where you go.
It's like going to one of these stores called unclaimed freight. Well, maybe it's unclaimed for a reason. There's a part missing or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's, yeah. Hey,
okay.
Thanks, George.
Yeah, bye-bye, Rod.
Have a good one. No, good point. Let the buyer beware is an important part of shopping. And outlet malls, they can be some bargains, but they can also be just another outlet for that company. And if it's lower price, maybe it's because, as George said, it's lower quality or it was refurbished. And so you have to keep your wits about you when you're shopping any place at any time. But outlet malls, I think George is right. There's a place to be particularly careful. Some sunshine this afternoon, a high of 72, and we've hit that exactly. Partly cloudy tonight, 53 the low. Mostly sunny and warm tomorrow, 78. Wednesday, mostly sunny, even a couple of degrees warmer. And from what Bob Larson is telling us, the days that follow up into including Saturday should continue to be really nice. We deserve that. You know, winter's coming. Coming up next half hour, we're going to talk to Jill Schlesinger, find out how much money Congress is going to cost us with the shutdown tonight.
Continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.